you've already spoken on the motion, you can't speak it on the amendment. You've already spoken. Oh, work's picked up.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah. A lot of work.
Good tips.
Yeah, yeah. It was the hills today and up to Gloucester to tomorrow. And, there's a fair bit of work done here.
Alice joined the club.
Oh, very good. That'll slow her down.
Where is it? Where are
they? Charlotte.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Very good.
What about? Possibly. Well, we're at 36 weeks this year.
Remember ours being
We have a quorum. It's 8:26. The meeting resumes. The acting governance manager advises that the legislation and regulations are silent on the issue of who and when can speak to the amendment specifically. The practice of the council for a couple of years now has been that we put an amendment motion immediately. And that's the chair's ruling on this occasion. So there being no contradicting regulation or legislation, the mayor's ruling stands, of course, unless there's a motion to dissent from the ruling. So we are about to put the motion, but staff have advised that if the motion... Oh, sorry, if the amendment is accepted, then the allocation in paragraph 6 does not need to be 711, it only needs to be about 140,000. So I was going to see if the mover and seconder wished to adopt that change. I'll ask, the mover's indicated she's willing to accept that dollar figure being corrected. Do I have leave of the meeting for the mover and seconder to correct, to vary the amendment, that's the technical term, to vary the amendment by the clarification of that figure in paragraph 6. If there's no one objecting, then we'll get that right in paragraph 6. Obviously, while that's being presented to us on the screen, the deletion of a number, or the deletion of the commitment to a number of extra playgrounds, obviously reduces the amount that's necessary in the budget, hence the correction. So that is moved and seconded. I put the motion, I put the amendment. All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against, raise your hand. The amendment is lost by majority. No, there's no division on an amendment. So we proceed with debate. For those who haven't spoken, we still have Councillor Byram's amendment live. Well, as only as part of your debate, we've had enough questions. If you want to use your speaking time, you can have a question during your debate.
Well, I've got to speak against
Councillor Hull, speaking against.
Speaking against it. It's not really an amendment. It's the original motion from Councillor Byram we're dealing with, is it not? Yeah, so it's not an amendment. Look, Councillor Telfer started to talk along the lines of my thinking, and my thinking was made well and truly known to the committee. Okay. Instead of having people here petitioning us not to remove the playground, and yet here we are now with a whole list of new ones. Now, what I'm going to do is repeat Councillor Telfer's position, where, as a grandmother, she's had to drive past several playgrounds to get to the ones the kids like. All right. Now, we keep hearing from the community and occasionally from the media that there is an expectation that playgrounds should be more interesting and more engaging than what they currently are. But we continue to build these little playgrounds that are convenience playgrounds. So they're not hitting the mark. That's what I'm getting at. I'd rather see us spend our money to make some credible playgrounds. I've still got kids myself. It's a bit of an oddity in my age, but still I've got a seven-year-old. Now, I know that she's discerning about playgrounds. Councillor Pfeiffer told the story at the committee meeting about how far people come to go to Jervois Street. We go back to Jervois Street again, because it's a great example. They come from councils removed to get to the City of Marion's Jervois Street playground. Why are we doing this? I've got to keep asking the question, why are we creating all these little... Once again, it's a bit like our open space. It's got to be effective. Not inefficient, not rewarding, not engaging, and not complementary to our community. I'd be happy to spend the same sort of money and more, as you would know, to build playgrounds that will be used. Jervois Street, you almost have to have traffic management. You know, like, there's some great examples that are working for us, and other councils are doing the same thing. But I have an issue with this, and I thought we'd actually, once again, I thought we had consensus on this, that we wouldn't actually do this, but we are. Because it's actually going to appease some people that would like a playground next door or across the road or down the street. Even though the target audience, the kids, probably don't want it. They want to have somewhere special to go. Somewhere with all the bells and whistles and all the things that they like. And we have
staff employed here that are overqualified in some respects to actually do this, but we're not using them effectively as well. Instead, we keep going along with this sort of stuff, so I don't get it.
It's quite clear that there is complete confusion around the chamber. In fact, it wasn't that long ago that myself and Councillor Gard argued Councillor Hall's very point when a small playground, which met no policy whatsoever, was to be removed. We had a small section of the community go, oh, no, we do want one in every street, and everyone but Councillor Gard and myself voted in favour of retention. I am completely confused of where we're heading with this, and I'd like to move an adjournment because it's clear that we haven't got a policy that we can all agree on. The policy before us is obviously not working for us, and I'll move that adjournment for that reason.
What are the time constraints? I would ask staff on adjournment, because it'll be quite some time before we can find some forum time to discuss it. I'm just helping Councillor Crossland out here with a relevant date for an adjournment, which he's entitled to suggest. Any constraints in terms of the current program? And we'll just proceed. You have enough in the pipeline, is what I'm saying.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's
all right. So pick a date towards the end of the year, Councillor.
Your Worship, if possible, I think we need a complete council discussion on this rather than infrastructure. So is there any timing in a forum? Because I don't think it's pointless bringing it back to council until we've had a all of council discussion on it, because I'm hearing from some people that we ought to look at the policy in distances and how it applies to local and neighbourhood.
Yes, so that's why I'm suggesting probably even the end of November might. Yeah, no, the end of November should be fine. We can probably. We may have to use 31st of October, but I think if we say end of the last meeting in November is probably the best bet.
Yeah, I'm happy with that. I'm sure staff have got plenty to be keeping them busy in the meantime on the playgrounds we've already agreed to.
So that's a procedural motion. Is that seconded? Councillor Gard. I therefore put the motion. All those in favour? All those against? The motion is carried by majority. So that will come back at the end of November. Right, we move on to page 250. Community grants and youth development grants guidelines. The one bit of feedback I've had recently, so it's really a question for staff and for consideration of members, is that both with the community grants and the youth grants, and possibly it's more important with the youth grants, do we want, first of all, I'll ask staff for their opinion on the viability of criteria which insist that the relevant program or activity be apolitical. That's what I'm getting at. Because there is scope for some of the activities which might otherwise fully meet the criteria to have a political dimension. And, one might come up one year that suits our own personal political views and we think it's fantastic, but the next year it might be something that is associated with a political ideology that we think is repugnant. So either way, if such activities are funded by council, even if they're carried on by someone totally independent, I can see council being tangled in controversy, so unnecessarily. So do administration have a view on that suggestion?
Through the chair,
These two grant guidelines were considered at the elected member forum of last Tuesday, the 19th of September, and there was discussion on this item with regard to the need for grants that are allocated to be inclusive and to ensure diversity around the council and the application of these grants. Members did speak to this item, and there was a degree of variation in how this item was covered. And the way staff have responded was to leave the guidelines as they are written, but to ensure that discretion is exercised in the selection of grants, that the things that the Mayor covers would not be put forward as recommended grants if they did have a political bias.
Thank you. I do note page 254, Community Grants Program, what makes a project ineligible, commercial or political activities. So it is dealt with to that extent. I'm just looking, and the same appears page 259 for Youth Grants Program, the same thing, ineligible for commercial or political activities. I can just foresee that there might be a future debate about what is a political activity that might be the subject of a grant application. So, I guess we'll just leave that for members to consider, but that was an issue that was raised with me, and I'll just leave it for the debate. Who would like to kick off? Question from Councillor Hull first.
I've just had a good look through this report. It seems, and the question is, does it vary from the previous report that we looked at where it indicated that if there was religious, racial or gender, sexual orientation issues with the organisation applying for the grant, that would be grounds for denial as well. Has that been dropped from...
Well, Councillor, as I recall, when the guidelines, might have been the youth grant guidelines, were last before council, I think that was something that you suggested in the debate, but I'm not sure if it ever was mapped out in the way that you wanted.
I saw it actually in a draft document where it referred to those very issues, and now, as Mr. Lyons says, they reverted back to the old guidelines. So essentially the question I asked and the discussion that happened has gone nowhere.
Just on the history of that.
Even though it appeared in
order, way. Order. Just on the history of that, Mr. Lyons, can you clarify it all?
Councillor Hull, unfortunately, I can't clarify categorically whether that line has been dropped, but I can say, as per my previous comment, that with the discussion that was held last Tuesday, staff will exercise their discretion to ensure that that is not recommended to council.
Well, Mr. Mayor, this is our policy. It's not about staff discretion. Otherwise, we wouldn't have any policies. We'd just leave it for the staff.
Well, I think that's a fair point. Councillor Hull, if you want additional criteria or clarified criteria, I think tonight's the night to move an appropriate amendment or something like that.
Well, can I have the verbiage that I saw last time reinstated into the policy document?
Well, we don't know what that was. Mr. Lyons, can you help?
Can I just clarify that I'm not willing to seek to impose my discretion on you, Councillor Hull? I'm just reflecting on the mood of the members last week, and we want to ensure that your position is upheld in the future selection.
Thank you, Mr. Lyons. I also want to clarify, Councillor Hull, to my recollection, your proposition has never been tested in council. So if you... want to do that, perhaps someone else should move. Order, the Chair's speaking. If somebody else wants to move as is, and Councillor Hull, you might want to move an amendment, then that can be tested, but you would need to formulate the wording, that's all.
The point before, and many of us are guilty of this, and we should apologise, but you know, we don't like surprises from staff, and yet I've actually put this forward. It actually even ended up in the Australian newspaper, for God's sake. And I did see it in a document, and there was discussion about it as a group. And then somebody gets the perception that we don't all agree, so it doesn't appear in the document.
Well, I do recall the debate about the concept, but I must say I don't recall seeing it set out.
And it's about walking the talk, Mr. Mayor.
Yeah, but order. Can any of the managers help? Right, well, we're not able to assist. I'll come back to you, Councillor. Councillor Valescu. Councillor, I can answer your question. It's not strictly covered because Councillor Hull's wanting to go a step further. So an organisation, let's say Councillor Hull thinks that there should be, may I use you as an example? It is just an example. If Councillor Hull thinks that there should be women priests, and there's a church group that doesn't allow women priests, but they have a fantastic program for young people, the program may qualify, but on Councillor Hull's reasoning, the organisation would not, and therefore they wouldn't get funding. So you see, Councillor Hull wants to take it a step further, and not just have inclusive programs, but to bar organisations which themselves are not inclusive, whatever that means. Is that a fair comment, Councillor Hull?
It's almost reasonable, but... In terms of discretion, Mr. Mayor, I think it's important for us to set the guidance in terms of what discretion is.
I agree with you on that, and that is Council's responsibility. We set the guidelines, staff assess against the guidelines, and there will always be an element of judgment. We appreciate that. Councillor Crossland.
Yeah, if Your Worship, it helps the members. My recollection was it was discussed. It was discussed as a risk. And it was offered by staff that it could be that in the questionnaire that's filled in, there could be a ticky box or a signature that said our program will be inclusive and non-discriminatory, and we felt that that would cover the risks. So that was pretty much how it was left, that it could be dealt with in that way.
Well, I'm getting lots of nodding from staff, so that seems to be an accurate recollection. Could I ask staff to work on some wording to assist Councillor Hull if he wants to move an amendment? Coming back to you, or Councillor Gard, and then Councillor Valescu again.
Your Worship, just a question. I don't pick up in the guidelines any mention of the marketing of grants. These are very worthy community activities that we're stimulating in the sense of offering grants, but I feel as if there's a gap in the education of the community as to what is available to them.
Well, Councillor Gard, perhaps I can field that one. That may well be so, but this motion is about the programs themselves and the guidelines, the criteria. So the marketing plan for the council, which we've heard about, which is gradually being rolled out, is the document, the place for those considerations to be met. And if it's not being met, then it is for us to agitate to say, you know, next time these grants are advertised, that they're properly advertised. So I think we can just leave it at that and be watchful. Now, Councillor Valescu.
May have some programs which are for a specific group of people, and it would be because that group's been identified that they need that service, whether it's a community organisation or a specific cohort of young people. And I guess I wouldn't want us to talk about organisations that aren't discriminatory, because it could be a situation where the discrimination addresses an inequity and an inequality. So I'm just wondering whether that's something we need to consider.
It's not so easy to word it, because to have a program to empower 12 to 15-year-old girls, that is utterly discriminatory, but it's in a way that we would wholeheartedly approve of. But you don't want a 20-year-old male saying, yeah, I'd love to join that program. So you actually want discrimination, but We don't want unlawful discrimination. That's the only safe ground, really, because otherwise, once you start picking and choosing what sort of discrimination we want or don't want, that is a minefield. If we say that there should not be unlawful discrimination, you're on safe ground because it's predefined in legislation. All right. Are we ready to move a motion? Mr. Lyons and Councillor Hull have formulated something, perhaps? So, Councillor Hull, you're happy for this sort of criterion to be noted in the council minutes and on the application forms rather than changing the policy? Is that the case?
It is so, because if we don't ask the question, how do we know? So, you know, if we don't ask the question of organisations in terms of the paperwork they're sent, we'll never know whether, assuming they're honest in their responses, and I'm sure they would be, but we'll never know whether they actually do practice inclusive behaviour in our community.
Councillor Hull, while you were talking to Mr. Lyons, it's a very useful discussion or exchange that took place between Councillor Blesko and myself, that we actually would support discrimination in a number of programs. For example, something that was for 12 to 15-year-old girls only, that is discrimination. It's just not unlawful discrimination. It's discrimination that we might support. So my suggestion was that the only safe ground really is to have applicants agree that they will not condone or practice unlawful discrimination, because that's predefined in legislation.
I understand what you mean, as long as I understand what unlawful is, because that would be the challenge.
Well, it is a challenge.
But when we discussed it last, it talked about the Muslim women swimming classes, swimming lessons, which is important because there's not a high incidence of drowning in the Middle Eastern immigrants. There'd be nothing wrong with any other woman going to those sessions as well. And I respect the fact that it's women only, and, geez, we've still got the Adelaide Club there, it's men only.
Right. So could I suggest alternative wording for you to consider, Councillor Hull? Insists that applicants assure council that they will not practice unlawful discrimination.
Can we actually use a legislation reference so they know what that means? Because it could be a bit vague.
Well, we could, as defined in the trouble is you've got several pieces of legislation in this messy country of ours, both state and federal. So you're getting into a very complex area.
Okay. Well, if you wanted to do that and just put those little explanations of religion, gender, sexual orientation, you know, because as defined by the legislation, so then we give some guidance as to what could be issues, and then that's backed up by legislation.
Yep, okay, well that's up there, and I don't think that does any harm to add those specific things, if that's what council wants. So now my preference would probably... Sure. Good collective wordsmithing. Councillor Valeskin? Yeah, Councillor, you're getting into debate. I'm just trying to fix a motion at the moment, so we can do something.
I think that the more we go into this, the more categories are put in there, the more discriminatory it gets and leaves it open up for
people. Okay, that's a matter for debate. My preference here would be for someone to move motions 1 and 2 and then perhaps for Councillor Hull or someone to move the third item. Mind you, that's not what I suggested. I loathe the term tick box. It sounds like a very nasty affliction. So what I would have said is that council will insist that applicants assure council just trying to keep this relatively simple. So, this notion of you don't need staff in there, really, notes that that grant applicants must assure council, etc., that they're not pressing unlawful discrimination in relation to... Okay, I think that is what Councillor Hull wants. Well, hang on a minute. My preference, because there's some controversy about this, I think it needs to be tested. My preference as chair would be that somebody moves paragraphs 1 and 2, and then we move paragraph 3 as an amendment. But, I'm in your hands. Councillor Westwood, give you the call.
Just before we get there, if I may.
Oh, yeah?
Number 2, regularly... could be once every 5 or 20 years. So maybe we clarify that. So name a time.
Okay. At least every 4 years?
Yes. Right. Or two.
Well, Mr. Lyons is saying there's a policy document that will say that, but...
Okay. All right.
Why is it there at all if it's not specific? Well, Mr. Lyons, can you just explain that? Because it's not clear from what's recommended by staff, I've got to say.
Through the chair, I'm not unhappy to include the frequency there, but the intent was to review the community grants and youth development grants at the same time that related policy documents were reviewed.
Well, what is the timing of that?
My understanding is that would be included in the policy documents themselves, but I don't have that frequency.
Well, that's why we want to address the issue, because staff can't tell us what it is. At least every 4 years, that'll give every new council a chance to do it. So youth grants, after the second word grants, I think, at least every 4 years. And yeah, I'm not even sure you need the rest then, because then it can get out of alignment. It's really for staff to do that. I don't know why that needs to be a council decision, to be honest. But okay, staff want to recommend that. Okay. Councillor Valescu.
Chip, I'm happy to move the first 2 points. I think these community grants and the changes to the youth grants as spearheaded by yourself, Your Worship, and other councillors, have been a good idea. We've been able to actually get this money out into the community, and we can actually get a lot more benefit for the wider community through this new model. The only thing I would suggest is that where there have been changes to initial grant application amounts, that we provide some support and contact very soon after we pass this, the new amounts, to the applicants, just so they can are able to work through those issues, because obviously they may have some deadlines with deliveries and delivery and things like that. So I think that the support provided, I've heard, is really good by the staff for people applying for these grants, and youth grants in particular. And I think we still need to carry on that support later on. People need to know as soon as possible that they've been accepted so they can start the planning, and if there's changes in the amounts, they need to know how that could be worked through. But apart from that, I have no other concerns. I think that the third point is unnecessary, and unfortunately it will probably get us into a wider debate on these issues, which I don't think is
point of order, Mr. Moon.
Probably something to be avoided.
Sorry, point of order?
There's point three doesn't exist yet, so...
I overrule the point of order. There's no point of order. Councillor Valesky, did you want to finish?
Yes. But as I said, it's a great initiative, and I really look forward to the fruits of the labour that staff and the community have put into this.
Councillor Byron.
I'll second it. Yes, we're seeing a lot of the projects that are out there for these grants, and it's just brilliant what people are able to do out in the community for the little amount of money we give them, and I fully support this.
Anyone speaking against or moving an amendment? Councillor Hull.
Thank you. I've moved point three, Mr. Mayor. Look, this is about us as a council walking the talk. We're quick to actually accept the accolades we received from all around the nation about flying the rainbow flag. In fact, going back into the 1990s, it was flying the Aboriginal flag. And we're quick to actually have multicultural meetings here. And it is incredulous that we actually do have some people who actually do come from foreign lands who may not support point three for reasons I don't understand. So this is about us walking the talk. It's putting a bit of substance to our initiatives with recognising other parts of our community, being inclusive. It's putting some meat on the bone. It's actually putting in policies that will ensure that our ratepayers' money will go to organisations that will not be able to get the money and then choose maybe not to be inclusive. And this is what this is all about. And it gives the framework to the staff to have the discretion. I think it's important that we give that guidance. And that's what it's all about. It's adding substance to what we've actually embarked on and taken some flak over the years in terms of our policy. There's lots of other things that we can do in-house as well to ensure that we actually walk the talk, and that's what this is all about.
I'll just let members know there are some time-sensitive matters that need to be dealt with, so if members could think about being more concise, that's great. But of course, it's up to you.
My time, Mr. Mayor.
That's a bit of a record. We'll put that one in the books. Thank you, Councillor Crossland.
I'll second that motion. Look, notwithstanding the fact that this is a fantastic program which I've supported from the onset, I think the guidelines have actually been made a lot simpler. So thank you very much for the hard work that staff have put in. I'm supporting point three. In this day and age, it shouldn't need to be in there, but I don't think it does any harm in just enforcing that's council's overall policy anyway. And it just serves as a reminder and just gives us some comfort that matter is being basically double-checked during the giving of these grants.
That is an amendment moved and seconded. I'll put the amendment, all those in favour, all those against, carried by a majority. Debate continues on the motion as amended. For those who haven't yet spoken, are there any other speakers? Councillor Appleby.
I'd like to speak against the motion. I'm not aware of any issue that we've had, so it seems to come a bit out of the blue. Point three, I think it's contradictory to speak of being inclusive while excluding large swathes of the population. There are a lot of religious people in the community have different views around a whole range of issues, and I don't think we should be marginalising them. The last time I checked, we still do have freedom of religion, and I think we should be encouraging them to participate in the public square and not excluding them.
I don't think the third point was required. I'll support the motion because I support the grants, but I think it gets us into a debate about, you know, what is discrimination, what isn't, and this program's and our time should be about what grants are out there for our community members. So, and I think it's a no-brainer that people will not, we won't be choosing inappropriate people based on all the other criteria, so it's totally unnecessary.
I'll put the motion. All those in favour, all those against, carried by majority, division called by Councillor Appleby. All those in favour of the motion as amended, please stand. They are Councillors Pfeiffer, Telfer, Hutchinson, Hull, Westwood, Valescu, Gard and Crossland. Those against are Councillors Byram and Appleby. The motion is carried by majority. Thank you, members. Page 262, Waste Management Project. Now, I think you're familiar with the history of this. Marion Council tried to get together with a number of other councils through Council Solutions. The ACCC said, no, that's going to limit competition. So Council Solutions is going to have another go, effectively, and this is Council's authorisation to commence that process, that project. Is that a fair summary, Councillor Mr. Barnwell?
True, the chair. Yes, that's exactly. They've reassessed the reasons why the ACCC decision was made, and that they're trying to approach it again based on the outcomes of that.
So this is purely to save money for our ratepayers. Moved, Councillor Gard. As well, please do.
It's a simple question, just in relation to the second part of the motion. I commend both parts, but just to get clarification on whether we are making a savings in that payment of or contribution of $89,093 compared with whatever else we might be doing by way of that activity, let's say.
If I could clarify, it's actually various councils pooling some money together to prepare a fresh bid, and hopefully won't run into trouble with the ACCC. It will go out to market, and with the various components of waste collection and recycling, etc., we'll get a better deal all round. So it's a bit like when you pay a consultant, in a sense, to get something ready which needs to be done before you actually go out and do the contract, like a tender preparation, but a more complex one. So that's moved. Second, a question from Councillor Byram.
I had a couple of questions. How does it really fit with SWARA and with the three-way thing that we've got going with waste with Donkapringa and Holtfast Bay? This is the first question. Do you want me to do them one by one to get answers?
Yeah, that's just recycling, which of course is just a component of the grand picture. We'll just take Mr. Barnwell's advice on that.
Through the chair, the recycling component with SWARA won't change for our council. It's been broken down to smaller different packages, so we don't have to apply that part of the project to our dealings with SWARA. They will continue as they were.
In a sense, this is how we're trying to collectively get past the ACCC ruling by saying it's not just one mammoth project, which might exclude a lot of South Australian smaller companies. We're going to break it up into different parts so that more people might be interested.
Understand that. However, it does have on page 263, part of it for the other councils that are in there is looking at that receiving and disposal of processing of residuation. It says not applicable for us because of SWARA.
Exactly.
So we're therefore putting money into the thing to still research and look at what the other councils are going to use in that, whereas we've already got SWARA. So I'm just one, that's how I'm wondering how that fits together on that score. That concerns me a little bit.
Well, you know, it's for preparation of the bid as a whole. If it comes off, the savings are potentially massive and worth many, many, many times the investment. The fact that we've already got part of it locked in, yes, that's part that we wouldn't have to worry about. But on the other hand, if we only went with Ongaparinga and Holdfast, our partners in SWARA, then we wouldn't be able to get the savings that this proposal aims to achieve.
Question was, why has Tea Tree Gully not elected to proceed with this from the original five?
Ms. Barnwell?
We're not privy to the reason they have decided not to go ahead. I did try to find out, but it wasn't clear from what I was hearing. They may have had an alternative offer, or they may just have decided to follow the process.
And when is, so we've got two councils that have agreed. Was that just recently that went to their council meetings?
I'm not
And we've got one still to confirm, is that correct? So we've got four councils.
City of Charles Stewart and City of Adelaide have agreed to go ahead. And City of Port Adelaide Enfield are making a decision, I think, tomorrow.
I believe that the waste management contracts are so huge that this just makes sense.
Any other speakers? No, I'll put the motion. All those in favour, raise your hand. Carried unanimously, thank you. Now, on page 268, this is really only relevant if any councillor has a motion to suggest for the LGA general meeting. Look, there probably could be a very good one about their selection processes for the jobs they... Oh, this is not the... not that one. Yes. So I referred to that part of the motion which concerns the general meeting. We have the option of putting a motion forward, but I don't think any staff have received notice of anything that members have come up with. We do nonetheless need to set council voting delegates. I'll have to ask that someone move to suspend standing orders so we can have that discussion about who it might be. Move to Councillor Crossland, second Councillor Westwood. All those in favour? That's carried unanimously. Normally it's the Mayor, if he can attend. The Mayor can attend. And I'd be suggesting Deputy Mayor as a proxy if it's possible. So unless anyone else wants to put their name in the ring, it is ultimately a council decision, but certainly that would be the traditional approach, I'd suggest. Councillor Westwood?
Sorry, everyone is available, is it? The two of you?
The two names mentioned are both available.
But if somebody wants to act as proxy, should the mayor not be available and has a burning desire to do it, then I'm happy to have someone else be standby.
Well, when you say you're happy to, you have to decide, are you putting your name forward or not? Because if you are, right, you are. Right, so Councillor Crossland, what's your position?
Councillor Westwood has a burning desire to be proxy, just in case, I'm happy for him to do that.
Rightio. We've got two names then. The Mayor is order. The Mayor is delegate. Councillor Westwood is proxy. Is there any other expression of interest? No? Okay. Well, Councillor Hull? Save yourself up for a big one. Fair enough. There are topics that the LGA discusses that might be of interest to you. I resume standing orders. I invite members to move a motion for the Mayor to be voting delegate and for Councillor Westwood to be proxy in respect of paragraph 2. Councillor Gard has moved. Is that seconded? Councillor Pfeiffer. Any further discussion? Then I'll put the motion. All those in favour, raise your hand. That's carried unanimously. Thank you. On to page 270, another item we have to deal with tonight, the Fund My Neighbourhood. As you know, the State Government are splashing some money around, very short timeframes for their process. I wondered about the Chief Executive Officer being the one who provides a shortlist, but there is actually a lot of wisdom in that. Given the numerous projects involved and the need to assess criteria. So, look, I've had a look at that. I think it's probably the most efficient means of moving forward. The only thing I would ask the Acting Governance Manager to comment on is whether there's any risk that the Chief Executive's action of sending a shortlist to the Department of Premier and Cabinet could be ultra vires because Council won't have approved those particular projects. I think the answer is that it's only a shortlist for consideration and that there's no Council funding attached to the shortlist. But I would seek confirmation from staff. Ms Dixon.
Through the Chair, that is the basis for this recommendation, and it's been put forward because of the tight timeframes, which are explained in the report as well.
Okay. Moved, Councillor Telfer. Seconded, Councillor Crossland. Any further discussion? Councillor Pfeiffer.
Yeah, Your Worship, look, I'm not entirely comfortable with that prioritisation process being taken out of the hands of Council. I fully trust that the acting CEO and CEO will make good decisions, but I think this is that sort of prioritisation of funding in the community, which we may even have to co-fund some things to be able to get them done. I think that's an appropriate conversation for Council to be having as opposed to it being an administrative decision. Look, I was wondering whether there was any appetite to have a short special general council meeting in a week's time before the committees.
Certainly, if there's any council requirement for consent or funding, it would come back to us.
Yep.
Ms Dixon.
So, through the Chair, just to confirm the process, and Mr Clark may want to add further information. So, if council endorses this approach, those projects will need to go into the Department of Premier and Cabinet by the 6th of October, so that's where the timeframes are extremely tight. Then should they go up to a website for public voting and the Department of Premier and Cabinet make the final decision on shortlisting. So it doesn't actually come to Council for final consideration endorsement of the projects. And our role in this first stage would be really assessing the feasibility of the projects on council-owned land.
So it's the cost and the scope of the actual projects that's all being asked to do is provide a recommendation. Do we support those projects, yes or no? It will then go up to a public vote after DPC does a further review of them.
Right, well, I'm sorry if I've misled Council. I thought that there might be circumstances that it would come back to Council if state government and a community vote said that something would go ahead. But that actually heightens my initial concern, I have to say, because we're not going to give staff the say-so to build sheds on sheds next to sport clubs and a helicopter pad on top of a council building and all the rest of it. That they are really political considerations, and they are funding considerations, because once it's built, if it's on a council land, we will be left to maintain it. So I don't know that we really can send it off to the Chief Executive Officer. Ms Dixon, what do you say?
Through the Chair, and appreciate and respect those concerns expressed by Council. So should Council want to see that final list, we would need to have a special Council meeting called, and that would need to be next Tuesday night, because we would have to get that list over by the 6th of October.
We have a motion. Do you wish to proceed with the motion, Councillors Telfer and Crossland?
Sorry, if Councillor Telfer is in agreement, I agree that with that additional information it would be prudent to have the special council meeting once we've got a list.
What do you
and
think?
I'd like that to be added.
Councillor Telfer, what do you think?
I think that a council meeting, special council meeting, would be better. I thought that the emphasis was on staff actually doing some hard work on the list of 70 projects and actually getting some idea of their, some of them almost seem as though they're already planned for and already around. So obviously some of those to do with playgrounds and things that are already happening or aren't going to happen, then we wouldn't be bringing them forward. So, yes, I'm happy to withdraw.
Well, perhaps a better way of putting it, would you be willing to vary the motion by if leave of the meeting is granted? Paragraphs 1, 3 and 4 would remain the same, but paragraph 2 would begin a special general council meeting shall decide, and then delete the word provide as well, and it goes on to a short list of projects, etc. A special general council meeting shall decide. Yeah, like that. And then it's obviously it's up to the Chief Executive on advice from the Mayor to actually have the meeting, but that will be done if the motion is passed in that form. So is that variation accepted by the mover and seconder? Is leave granted? Leave is granted. So that's the motion, moved and seconded. Is anyone speaking against or asking any urgent questions? Councillor Vlescu?
Can there be a short list of some sort provided to Council on which we can make a consideration?
That is more or less part of the motion now, and one would expect that the agenda for the Special General Council meeting would provide helpful information.
Just a question, Mr Mayor. Marino Town Hall, is there something we don't know about?
Councillor Hull will take that as a rhetorical question. I'll put the motion. All those in favour? That's carried. All those against? Carried by majority. So we'd probably be looking at next Monday, I suspect. Public holiday. So the Tuesday is a busy committee evening. Members have difficulty getting here too early. I don't think it's a short discussion, really. So we'd be looking at Wednesday or Thursday next week, folks. What's the deadline again? I'm asking, Mr. Which is which day? Friday next week. Oh, well, that's perfect. So probably aim for Wednesday, but I'll consult, make sure it's feasible. Well, a lot of us are booked on Wednesday and Thursday. We'll just have to do the best we can. Okay. Let's break the rules. Quick straw poll. Who prefers Wednesday? Who prefers Thursday next week? I suppose it could be this week. I know I can't do tomorrow. Possibly Thursday. But the assessment has to be done. That's the problem. So Wednesday or Thursday next week, just... This is not going in the minutes, but put your hand up if you prefer Wednesday. Put your hand up if you prefer Thursday. Right, well, there's a slight edge for Wednesday, so I will speak to the Chief Executive Officer about that. We move on to the next item of business. Artificial Surfaces Funding Improvements, page 276 of the agenda. Yes, that is in order, Councillor Bulescu.
Your Worship, I'd like to move an extension of time for us to cover all the urgent business on the agenda, and I'm just asking for consideration to include the items on notice that have been on there for two meetings, because if we don't get to those, that'll be three meetings that they haven't been on. So
the only other urgent motion, as I'm advised by staff, is the one that I've just drawn your attention to, funding for artificial surfaces. We could then perhaps quickly deal with questions on notice. We could deal with questions on notice, which would be very brief.
Notice?
And motions with notice, which have been on the books for two meetings. Can staff just advise me which ones they would be? Up to and including use of glyphosate. So I reckon you could well be talking about certainly over an hour to an hour and a half, I suppose, because things do tend to slow down as you approach the orbit of a massive object. So, is that your motion?
Your Worship, I'll move extension of time till 10. That gives us half an hour, and see what we can get done in that time.
All right. I'm quite happy to leave at 10. Thank you. The motion is that we extend time until 10. Is that seconded, Councillor Crossland? All those in favour, raise your hand. Let's be clear about this, people. All those in favour, raise your hand. Okay, all those against, raise your hand. Yep, that's carried by a majority. So we kick on till 10. It's just like the Port Power match, isn't it? Extra time. Page 276, so you can see that it does look like good value to apply for funding to get these extra pitches done. Moved, Councillor Crossland?
Yeah, I'd like to move as printed, please, Your Worship.
And seconded, Councillor Telfer. Do you wish to speak, Councillor?
Can I just very briefly? I was lucky enough to be at a meeting last night where James basically described this process and all the time it would save staff. In fact, over a very short period of time, it will pay for itself, and it will also prevent the dangerous surface that a lot of our footy clubs are playing on at the moment. So it's a no-brainer for me. It's a good investment. And I'd like to commend it to council on that basis.
The reference to James is a reference to Mr. O'Hanlon, a capable member of our land and property team.
Apologies, I wasn't sure on his surname pronunciation at that time.
I helped you out. That was seconded, Councillor Telfer. You wish to speak, Councillor Telfer? Councillor Pfeiffer feels the need to contribute.
No, very quick question. Look, the one thing I wasn't clear on coming out of this report, a number of these pictures, because of the fact that we cover them up and uncover them every year, a lot of the actual cricket pitches themselves sit below the surface of the oval, sometimes by up to 10, 15 centimetres. So with this rollout, are we still adding extra surface, extra content underneath the rollout surface, or to make it up to level, or not?
I presume the end result's going to be a flat surface, but I would ask staff for some technical advice on that.
Yes, thank you, through the Chair. My understanding is that we would be correcting the levels of the surface to ensure that both football and cricket can be played on a fit-for-purpose surface with these new mats.
So, therefore, we're still trucking in sand on and off the pitches every year, but all this is putting in an artificial surface so that they're not running on sand. They're running on an artificial surface as opposed to sand.
For the football season, as I understand, these new mats would mean that there would be no need for sand. Is that when we truck in the sand?
Councillor Pfeiffer, bottom of page 276, covering pitches with soil is not required. The surface is even and stable. Sounds to me like once it's there, the footy players or the cricket players just use it as it is.
Your Worship, if it assists during the meeting yesterday, that's how it was described as well, that the way that this is applied prevents the need for any shipping in.
Ms. Dixon?
Through the Chair, if members look on page 280, the bottom two photos show the end result, and it talks about, you know, comparison. So that third image of an artificial turf surface placed over the cricket pitch, no maintenance is required. So I think that's the benefit of what's being recommended.
Councillor Valescu.
A question. Where does this get stored? Because I know that the cricket club at Morfordville Park actually talking about a need for storage areas, and before there's any changes to that site as a result of the Women's Change Rooms grant, I'm just wondering where these will be stored, and have we got any plans for that?
Through the Chair, the matting gets stored at our city services facility.
I'll put the motion then. All those in favour? All those against? It's carried by majority. Thank you. Now, with leave of the meeting, I will skip over the complaints and grievance policy. I think it does contain a lot of detail that bears discussion and close scrutiny, so it wouldn't hurt to just leave that for now. Do I have leave of the meeting? Yes, I have leave of the meeting. So we move on to page 290 and 94, the Work Health and Safety Report and the Finance Report. Could be moved on block. I did meet with Mr. Barnwell today to suggest a couple of improvements to the report because I felt there was a lack of clarity in referring to both the original approved budget on the one hand and the budget. But they're actually different things, because the budget, in the sense it's used, is adjusted through the year at quarterly reviews. And therefore, you end up with a budget for the year, which is not the same as the original approved budget. It makes sense, but it just needs to be explained. And the other aspect I felt should be in the reports, we have what goes in and what comes out of the reserves, but we don't actually have a stock take of what's in the reserves. And if we're going to have these regular reports, I feel that's important for Council's consideration, where you want to know how much there is to play with in terms of our capital expenditure. So I just let you know that, you know, that has been scrutinised. I've had that discussion with Mr Barnwell, but I'm not aware of any other issues with those two reports, if somebody would like to move them together. Question, of course, is welcome. Councillor Hunt.
Members that have been on Council for a while would know that I have an inherent dislike for pipe and chain fencing, and yet one of our employees has been injured by one of these pipe and chain fences. Can the administration take that on board and maybe do a review of the appropriateness of pipe and chain fences on our reserves?
Thank you. Staff will take that on board. If there are no other questions, would someone like to move a question? Councillor Byram.
Councillor Hull raised the question earlier this evening about the golf club bores. I also had the same sort of question, wanting to know some more detail about that.
Or can you be more specific, either yourself or Councillor Hull, what we need to know?
The question asked by Councillor Hull earlier was, in the lease, was this supposed to be covered by the golf club? Or because it is a lot of money that's suddenly come up, who is responsible for the bores and why has this happened? What is the maintenance and stuff of those? Is it ongoing? Why has this suddenly happened?
Mr. Barnwell.
I don't know. I am not privy to details of the lease, but my understanding is this particular, it was urgent repairs. It was a collapse of a bore, which is our infrastructure. So it will be our responsibility as opposed to the operation maintenance, and that's why it had to be dealt with immediately.
Other questions? Councillor Hull?
Can that be checked alongside the lease, please?
Yes. Staff can take that on board. Thank you, Councillor Hull. Councillor Hutchinson, a question?
Thank you, Your Worship. Yes, page 307, sundry debtors. We've got one there for local government total with no explanation, and local government refers to other local government corporations. Can we please have an explanation on that outstanding amount there?
I mean, Mr. Barnwell, any idea what the heading might mean? Is it, I mean, does it refer to the LGA, or we don't know tonight?
I'm not sure exactly.
All right.
Scripture's at the bottom, but it's pretty broad. It says other local government corporations. So I want to know if it's a deal that we've done with another.
It may well be. It could be an amount for a long service leave, which we're claiming off another council. So. It's only a current sale, that's what it was the whole. It's only a current. I suspect it may be a leave receipt that we want off another council.
Right, not a big problem at this stage. Would someone like to move? Councillor Telfer?
Have a question on page 300, the year-to-date variance in cash investments and accrual fundings, but I am happy to meet the manager and go have a lesson on it afterwards.
Well, thank you, Councillor. That is the best approach, to sort of have a one-to-one or small group of tutoring to sort of be able to work through these papers. But for now, do I have a motion? Could be moving those two motions en bloc, if you want. Councillor Byram moved both of those motions. Councillor List was seconding. Then I'll put those motions. All those in favour? It's carried unanimously. Thank you. So now we turn to several questions on notice. I'm always grateful to Councillor Kerry for highlighting my role in negotiating the Oaklands Crossing solution. And we note the answers to the question about the use of glyphosate as well, and a diesel-powered generator. Councillor Hull?
I have spoken to the acting CEO about this. The answer doesn't satisfy me, and it's about asking administration to lift their gaze to a level that is conducive with providing an answer. In other words, can we actually look at this? It doesn't have to be panels on the roof of this building. It can be other structures, namely the carport arrangements.
Well, Councillor, you've raised it publicly. You've got an answer, even though it's not what you wanted. I invite you to pursue it with staff in between meetings, and if necessary, come back with further question or motion in due course. Page 315, renaming the city. Councillor Gard, and I must say I appreciate your tact in not suggesting the name Hanapolis. You have suggested a few other possibilities, but I'll let you take the running on this, Councillor Gard.
Thank you, Your Worship. No, the Merino Town Hall is a misnomer. I have abandoned my notes because we've had a few adjournments of this item, but I want it to be taken very seriously. It's not a motion that is about renaming the city as being a bright idea. It's a motion about the science and marketing value of investigating the outcome were we to rename the city, and to also research if there seems to be appetite out there in the community or in other sectors to research what the city might be renamed. Marketing mixes are very interesting things, and if we are to market the city of Marion, or let's say our establishment, in the most efficient way, then we need to be assured that our marketing mix is appropriate and that strategies are cohesive and that they lend themselves to each other. So this is a serious matter. It's very unlikely, in my humble view, that there will be amalgamations of councils in the foreseeable future. I think that, in a way, is a sadness, but that's a topic for another day, hopefully not too far off. But it would be wrong of us to postpone a renaming of a city the size of ours, or to research the renaming of the city the size of ours, in order to wait for such an event, which is really putting yourself on the back foot strategically. The thing that stimulated my thinking the most was that the city of Marion has come of age. It is now moving determinedly into the 21st century. It's becoming a different city, a totally different city to that which was devised and named back in the 1940s. Marion is one little suburb of 27 suburbs that we have. And so I want to see what the marketplace, how the marketplace would react, and what we could do with a new name. But I would not want to see it renamed just for the sake of renaming. So this is a matter of science, not a matter of bright ideas, I emphasise. So I'm seeking the permission of members for our marketing division to go to work and to put us up an approach that we might take strategically to look at the issue as to whether we go ahead with the renaming or not.
I think that this should be discussed. It's quite reasonable, especially from a marketing point of view. So I think it's worth considering, but I personally don't believe that it should be changed, because it's buried in history, or at least we're in a have foundation of history around here. I think personally the name Marion is sufficient, but I think it is worthwhile researching, because we have come up with quite a few interesting ways of doing things since we've been here in this term, and I think we should continue and be open-minded and do the best we can. I think pursuing research on this would be a good idea. Thank you.
I have a lot of respect for Councillors Gard and Westwood, and I understand the sincerity behind this, but I think the perception in our community is that we're navel-gazing on this issue. I think they want us to make the city better, improve, not waste their money, and I think looking about whether we want to change the name really diverts our attention and our resources from the very many things that we need to do, need to get done to make our community a better place.
Thank you, Your Worship. Yes, it's an understandable point that Councillor Bălescu makes. However, in marketing, the idea is to make a profit or to make something that is deemed to be profitable out of your business. So the last thing I would want to do is to be navel-gazing our way into making an expenditure that had no return. So this sort of strategy would demand that it can be proven to have a greater benefit than cost, but it is for us to find out how. But to turn your back on the possibility, given the evolution of this city over the last 70 years since it was named such, would to me seem to be ludicrous and ignorant. And I'm speaking as a marketing professional in this case, not merely as a councillor. There are many, many instances of great products having their names changed for very good reason. Yes, it's expensive if you look at one side of the ledger, but if you look at the other side of the ledger, the return side, and you can prove that the benefit is greater than the cost, well then why wouldn't you do it? Other than for the posterity reasons, perhaps, which to me is most unprofessional.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move the motion as printed. We, as local representatives, community leaders, sometimes we call, have a responsibility to advocate. We advocated for the Oaklands Crossing, but Mayor Hannah participated in that only because it was something that was important to our community. This is important to our community. Mr. Mayor, I've been poised on this motion for too long. It's been a couple of years now I first thought about doing such a motion. Things haven't improved. In fact, they got worse. At the Flinders Medical Centre, where most of our people go, they should not be subjected to this. They should not languish in the back of an ambulance waiting to be treated. In terms of the staff up there, the staff, like after the London fire and bombings, we had this focus on the welfare of emergency service people. They got a tough job. In fact, we've got people in this room that are actually in that very position. You put yourself in their shoes. And the last thing you want is to be frustrated by the lack of support in terms of getting the people out of the back of an ambulance to get appropriate medical attention, an appropriate bed and somewhere to actually recover. It's stressful on the staff, It actually causes conflict between ambulance officers and nursing staff. I've seen that happen myself. Being a former ambulance officer, I can only imagine, because ramping wasn't an issue when I was in the New South Wales or the South Australian Ambulance Service. But I can imagine how it would impact on it, because the ambulance officers want to get out and do their job, but they're tied up at the hospital. And well may we wonder why the response times are now an issue. Well may we wonder. And this is where our people are actually affected by this. And this is why we should throw our support behind the Ambulance Employees Association, because that's their campaign. Things are getting worse, and we need to actually advocate and make sure the government knows that this council is not comfortable with this, and we expect this to be addressed, particularly at the Flinders Medical Centre.
Is that seconded? Councillor Westwood, thank you. Seconding, did you wish to speak?
Well, I have to say, also having been a nurse, I can understand that the situation is not very comfortable, effective. It's also presents dangers. I think it's quite reasonable for us as community leaders to at least express dissatisfaction. We're not prescribing exactly how to fix it, and we're not actually volunteering to fix it, but we are asking the next tier of government up to try to do something about it.
Anyone speaking against? I'll then put the motion. All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against, raise your hand. The motion is defeated. No, it was defeated. Councillor Hutchinson was not in the room. He's not required to vote. It was a 5-4 vote against. We move on to page 318. Councillor Hull, King Neptune. I just want to add to the very brief report that administration's provided that the information I've received informally is that the city of Mitcham, at least, and Shell, to call them that for short, are well on the way to in their plans to find a solution, as suggested by Councillor Hull. But the motion's not inconsistent with a solution being found. It just asks the city to work with others to facilitate the installation and ongoing maintenance of the statue. Councillor Hull, over to you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. What you described is fair. I thank Councillor Telfer for her involvement in this as well. I'm glad that I raised it. It created a discussion. And once again, it's community advocacy. This is not a council core council business, but it is one of those things that the community would expect us to provide some stewardship with. And in fact, with this one, we've got somewhere. And I believe that there is another entity that's involved in this, and probably not in a position to make a public comment about that right now. But it looks as if the King may well return to the Golden Mile, in fact, very close to where he was initially located. So I think it's a good news story. I think we don't have enough of this in our society.
Would staff mind reading that out? I do thank Councillor Telfer for putting it in writing. That is best practice.
To allow a private interested party to facilitate the installation and ongoing maintenance of the King Neptune statue as a heritage landmark as part of the South Road Darlington upgrade.
Order, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Your Worship. I'm sure members have had a few chances to read this. I have been approached by one of the executive members of the Morphettville Park Sports Club. They are concerned about the traffic along Denham Avenue. So I would like us to conduct a report. I also want the general community to know that this is an issue that we are considering. And I think it's important that the people using the oval, but also the people driving around that area, know that we do expect people to take care, especially when children and young people are in that area and attending sport events. So that's all I need to say on this.
Councillor Valescu, I'm advised by staff that they would prefer to bring such a report in November 2017. Would you mind moving it in that
Worship, because form? We have delayed it for two meetings, yes.
Very well. Do I need leave of the meeting? Well, no, anyone objecting? Makes sense. Yes.
Your Worship, I wonder, is this the sort of matter that can just be dealt with through ward briefings? Like, if you're just asking for a traffic review, that's pretty easy.
Well, councillors are entitled to bring any matter to general counsel, no matter whether they're suited to a ward briefing or not. That's part of your political capability, I suppose. But, I'm sure Councillor Valescu's considered that. Is leave granted for the change from October to November? Leave is granted, so it's moved in that form. Is it seconded? Councillor Appleby, the old ward teamwork again, excellent. I wouldn't be using those terms just at the moment, but anyway. now you've thrown me off my stride. Is anyone speaking against that motion? Then I'll simply put the motion. All those in favour, raise your hand. That's anyone against? That's carried unanimously. Thank you. All right. Councillor Valescu's taken the initiative again. Use of glyphosate. Councillor Valescu.
Yes, I've spoken to staff over this numerous times, and I'm suggesting that we have an option to look at minimising the glyphosate use in some sensitive areas. The questions on notice on this topic indicate that there are some limitations. It is something that is readily available, and I have been approached by the community about this issue.
Yes, I remember it coming to council in 2015, I think, when we dealt with the same issue then, and I know that I had explored it quite thoroughly with staff in what is now Mr. Lyons' department. Specifically because of community concerns. It may be a minority, but they are genuine concerns about use of glyphosate. So I take it that's continuing to be investigated. Is that seconded, Councillor Byram? Councillor Byram, I've given the call. You're seconding the motion, Councillor?
Yes, I am. Thank you, Your Worship. Yes, when we talked about this before, I had a lot of questions regarding this as well, so I welcome this report. Thank you.
Westwood, I know you feel strongly about it. Do you want to speak as well? No, you're okay. Councillor Telfer?
Amendment.
Yes. Thanks for writing it down. That is what should happen.
So that my amendment is that Council be provided a report on best practice weed management, in particular around playgrounds, including any opportunities to reduce the overall use of glyphosate on public land.
That's clear. Is that seconded? Councillor Hull, wish to speak?
I do.
Then we will vote. Oh, Councillor Telfer, sorry. Please go ahead. With your support for that.
It's one thing to have less glyphosate around. It is not a good thing to have three-cornered jacks and cowslip and every other weed around the place. So surely we need to know what is best practice and include glyphosate minimalisation in that. But we can't just target glyphosate. We need good weed management throughout our city.
Actually, I did want to mention something that is quite related to this, particularly because it's best practice that we're talking about. And what I'm a little bit cautious about or fearful is that certain staff and or contractors may not be protecting themselves adequately. So I'll be very happy to see something, some reference to that in the report. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Valesky, would you like to briefly close the debate?
I preferred my motion, but I'm happy to proceed with the last one.
Then I put the motion. All those in favour, raise your hand. That's carried unanimously. Thank you. All right. Councillor Hull, potential property acquisition opportunities.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to two things here. One, call for an extension of time for another 15 minutes and then move this motion.
I gave you the call, move to extend another 15 minutes. Is that seconded? I'll just let members know. I'll probably leave the meeting at this point for various reasons if the extension is granted, so the Deputy Mayor might want to be ready to take over. Is that seconded? Councillor Valesky, all those in favour, raise your hand. All those against, the motion is not carried. The time having exceeded 10 p.m., I declare the meeting closed. Thank you.